Thank you very much. Appreciate very much the privilege of speaking to you this afternoon. And it was good for us to sing and for me to hear you, because my fear of speaking to you has been replaced right now by a lot of emotion and of the great thankfulness to God that my life has been blessed by the fellowship of Christian women, of Christian mothers, Christian wife, Christian daughters. And I want you to know, as a pastor, how much I appreciate and revere you in the Lord Jesus. But now, so that my emotion does not carry me, I'm going to go to my speech. We're going to talk about community. When, as believing women, you walk worthy of your calling by having true, vibrant, spiritual fellowship with each other, you are delighting your Heavenly Father. You will receive for yourself, in the words of Jesus Christ, 100-fold now in this time, and you enrich the church, the bride of Jesus Christ. And I'm going to talk for just a few minutes, not so much about the fact that when you walk in fellowship with each other as a community of Christian women, that you have the smile of God. And I'm not going to talk so much about the blessing that you will receive personally from this, but I'd like to talk about how it is that when you walk worthy as believing women in community, you enrich the church. For this, as I understand it, is exactly Paul's theme in Ephesians chapter 4. He's talking of the church, and he's talking specifically of how all the joints and parts of the church edify the church that it may grow up into Jesus Christ. The saying is that behind every good man is a good woman. Behind every good church, every church where there is, this is really the burden of what I want to say, in every church where there is an atmosphere where the Word of God is received, where the truth is heard, and where godly lives are encouraged and nurtured, behind that church you will find a group of believing women who are walking worthy of the Lord in community. It's a church where women, whether you're married or single, whether you're widowed, whether you're young or old, it's a church when these women understand that they are knit together by a divine hand and by the blood of Jesus, and that they serve the Lord Jesus Christ in the church with their feminine gifts. First of all, let's be clear on what is meant by community, or at least as I see the word community. I'm referring to the fellowship of Christian women, and I would have you think with me of a series of circles which expand. The community of Christian women begins in the home with a mother and her daughters. It extends to the Church of Jesus Christ. It goes out to the school, and it expands beyond into the community. And the community or fellowship of you Christian women is not the community which is dependent on a location, a common location, or common interests, or common things that you want to be involved in, because then we could think of Meals on Wheels, we could think of Welcome Wagon, we could think of Daughters of the Confederacy, an organization that you join or you leave, an organization that you say, I'm interested or I'm not, I want to get something out of it or I don't get something out of it. But when we talk from the Scriptures about the community of Christian women, we are talking about something the grace of God has given to you, so that you have been placed into this by the hand of God with each other. It's not your brainchild, but it is something that God has done and is doing. God has brought you, single or married, old, widow, God has brought you by the blood of His Son into the fellowship of Christian women. He's already done that. Your calling is to reflect that. If you turn in your Bibles to Colossians chapter 2, verse 2, the Bible speaks of this throughout. In Colossians 2, verse 2, we read that their hearts, that your hearts, might be comforted, being, now note the word being. This is something that has been done. Being knit together in love, and here's the fruit, unto all riches of full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ. You have been knit already in love by Jesus Christ's blood. So what we're talking about in the community of Christian women is the covenant, the fellowship that we have with God and each other, but now we're talking about the covenant in the sense of the real sense now, not theoretical. We're talking about covenant in the sense that you must walk worthy. You must embrace the covenant in your heart. And when you embrace the covenant in your heart, then you battle isolationism. You say, you battle these statements. I'm not needed. I'm single. And they talk about children and it's nothing for me. I'm childless. I don't have anything in common. I'm not important here. I have more in common with the girls at the office. We must embrace covenant by faith. The psalmist says, Psalm 68, verse 6, God setteth the solitary in families. The Bible uses the words referring to ourselves apart from Christ. We are orphans, we are aliens, we are strangers, we are outcasts, we are lonely, we are desolate. And then in the covenant, embracing the covenant, the Bible calls us daughters, friends, brethren, sisters. Ye are no more strangers, but fellow heirs of the grace of Christ. Embrace the covenant fellowship of God as Christian women. Through the blood of Christ, you have been drawn together unto Jesus Christ. This means that you will fight and you will overcome any feeling of being rejected, the ideas of inferiority or envy, jealousy, but positively you will see that you have the calling from the Lord to bear the burdens of your sisters and of the church. You are there to help solve problems. You will cherish and you will encourage one another. You will use hospitality. You will attend Bible studies. What I'm saying is that if the Spirit of Christ is in you, you will embrace the fact that you have fellowship with God, righteous in the blood of His Son and fully accepted forever. You will joy in Christ. And you will joy in your sister in Jesus Christ. And you will sing, I love thy saints who fear thy name and walk as in thy sight. They are the excellence of earth. In them is my delight. Or in the words of Lord's Day 21, what is the communion of saints? First, that all and everyone who believes, being members of Christ, are in common partakers of Him and of all His riches and gifts. Secondly, that everyone must know how it is her duty readily and cheerfully to employ her gifts for the advantage and salvation of other members. It is very striking when you read the Bible of how believing women walked worthy in fellowship, and that this is woven into the Bible. It's taught in the Bible corresponding perhaps to the place that women have in the church. It's not underscored in red, but it runs as a soft and nurturing current through the whole Bible. Very quickly, I'm going to run through some of this with you and give you some references. There's, first of all, in the Old Testament, the women who would assemble at the doors of the tabernacle of the congregation. You'll find a reference to this in Exodus chapter 38, verse 8, where Moses lays down legislation for the brazen altar. And we are told in Exodus chapter 38, verse 8, that at that brazen altar, under this legislation, he made the laver of brass and the foot of brass of the looking glass. So brass is being polished so that you can see your face in it. The looking glass of the women assembling. And the word assembling there is drawn together as a troop, which assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. The point is that Moses is giving legislation concerning the Levites of what they have to do with this altar and with this laver of brass. But then we are simply informed that women, an assembly of women drawn as a troop, came before this altar. They saw that there was something that needed to be done. Perhaps it was the cleaning up after the sacrifices or the polishing of the brass. And they simply would assemble, and this group of women began to busy themselves in the services of the tabernacle. It was exactly this that made the sin of Eli's two sons so heinous. For we read in 1 Samuel 2, verse 22, that they lay with the women that assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. Not commanded, but there they were, a group, an assembly of women to serve at the tabernacle. Very similar is a reference to the daughters of Shiloh. You'll find that in Judges chapter 21, verse 21. Don't have time to go into the very history here. I was going to say convoluted, but I need to be careful with my words. Very involved history. But the point is, the sons of Benjamin had been decimated, and now the men of Israel want them to have wives. And we read in Judges 21, verse 21, "And see, behold, if the daughters of Shiloh come out to dance in dances, then come ye out of the vineyards and catch you every man his wife," and so on. The daughters of Shiloh, when the tabernacle was in the days of Judges pitched in Shiloh, there were the daughters of Shiloh, that is, young girls who would celebrate the goodness of God and praise the goodness of God and join together to express that joy. And then there were also in the Old Testament the references to the daughters of Israel. Judges chapter 12, or Judges chapter 11, verse 40, with Jephthah's daughter. You remember Jephthah took the vow that the first out of his house would be given to the Lord, and his daughter came out. She was now to live her life as a single woman devoted to God. And she honored her father's vow. And then we read that the daughters of Israel went yearly to lament the daughter of Jephthah the Gileadite 4 days in a year. And if you go back up to verse 37, these words, she says to her father, "Let this thing be done for me. Let me alone 2 months that I may go up and down upon the mountains and bewail my virginity, I and my fellows, I and my sisters." So the scripture is assuming, is weaving, is telling us that women would gather together to aid their sister in Christ, their sister in the promise, when she was in distress, when she would bewail, when she would struggle to accept the will of God, when she was trying by faith to be submissive to the will of God now for her life, How did God strengthen her? Well, she needed her fellow sisters, and then she was visited. She was not forgotten. But the daughters of Israel would come and see her at periodic times throughout the year. Going to the New Testament, we remember the group of women who followed Jesus. We read of them in numerous places, but especially in Luke chapter 8, the verses 1 to 3. Verse 2, and certain women which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary, called Magdalene, out of whom went seven devils, and Joanna, the wife of Cusa, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others which ministered unto him of their substance. These women had experienced the Lord's mercy, and now they gathered together to follow the Lord and to minister unto him out of their own substance, whereas the disciples had to be called by Jesus. These women simply, by the grace of God, began to follow and to do the things that were needed. These are the women who stood throughout the whole ordeal of Calvary. These were the women who would be the first ones at the tomb at the day of his resurrection. The Apostle Paul says that women were first in the transgression. Well, that's so. But Jesus Christ says, women, these devoted followers who gave of their own substance and who followed me and who cared for me and for my disciples, they will be the first to hear of my resurrection. There was also, just two more examples in the New Testament, there was the example of the woman's prayer group in Acts 16, verse 13. When the gospel, this is significant, when the gospel is going to cross continents and leave Asia to go into Europe, according to the promise that God made to Noah, that Japheth would share in Shem's blessing, the first convert is Lydia, a woman. And where does Paul find her? He finds her in a company of women, a group of women, who were together at the riverside where prayer was wont to be made. And Paul says, we sat down and we talked to the women's prayer group, to the women who had resorted thither. It were the women who served the Apostle Paul. I'll mention some of their names, Herodias and Syntyche, Dorcas, well not Dorcas, but Tryphena and Tryphosa, Romans 16, Julia, Priscilla, and on we could go. From all of that, my simple point was that of these women who gathered together in groups and in fellowships, you will find no command for them to organize. You will find no office of priest or elder, king or deacon given to them. You will not find them attempting to duplicate men. But you will find them simply by the Spirit of Christ coming forward unobserved, using their gifts, because they cared. They cared for each other. They cared for the church of God. And so when God says in Genesis 2, verse 18, I will make an help meet for him, God's design in making the woman went beyond Adam and went to his church. The word helper, when God gives the word helper to women, is not second class, because God himself calls himself helper. Our help is in the name of the Lord. He helped us in our deepest needs. His grace abideth ever. Unless the Lord had been my help when angry foes assailed. God is our helper, which means that God, unsolicited, comes to our aid at times. that God has helped us in our deepest need, that God took notice, that God observed, that God did something, that God alleviated misery and woe, that God knows us. He helps us in our sorrows. He bears us in our grief, that God draws near when we are bitter or we are rebellious or we are broken. That God helps us means God took pity. That God took out of His own substance, out of the riches of His own grace, and came to our aid. Now, that same word, helper, by divine design, is given to the woman because this touches the believing woman in a feminine way. According to your design, He made you a woman. He made you His daughter, married or single. He gives to each one of you your strengths, gifts, and opportunities. Your family, your single life, a widow, childless, or with children, or bereft of a child or a husband. And He places you in the body of Jesus Christ so that you might be a helper. Or put it this way, He puts you in the church in order that through the fellowship of Christian women, the church may be a home. The old prospector, when he would come to his fellow prospector's cabin, would say, "This place needs a woman." So also with respect to the church, God says, "My place needs a woman, so that I can give her a list, an office." No. Men need lists. Elders and pastors and men need a list. God gives women to be a woman. Gives women womanly gifts to use their eyes and to foster fellowship. Did anyone tell the women to go to the grave? Did anyone tell the women to polish the brass? Did anyone tell the women to follow Jesus? Did anyone tell them to do that? No. Why? Because the gift of a woman is to see. The gift of a woman is to bring what is needed. The gift of a woman is to bring warmth to the house. This house needs a woman because a man knows that it's only a woman who can bring it warmth. And so, pastors preach, elders rule, deacons dispense, husbands lead, and women help. Women bring fellowship. Women bring warmth into God's church. According to God's own design. You help, you bring this fellowship by helping each other. And you do that by helping the whole church. You help each other. Community of Christian women is intended to aid one another in your need and to strengthen your faith. An example of this, although the example is going to be of David and Jonathan, nevertheless it applies. An example is in 1 Samuel chapter 23, verse 16. 1 Samuel 23. "And Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went to David into the wood." David is hiding He's in the wood. And strengthened, here's the words, and strengthened, Jonathan strengthened David's hand in God. I find in that verse exactly a verse that will tell us exactly the purpose of friendships, Christian friendships among women, or the purpose of groups of women getting together, or the purpose of a woman going to her sister who she knows is in crisis or in need. I find the verse to be very helpful in that. David, first of all, though he was strong, needed it. Secondly, Jonathan made a conscious effort to go find David. We see him walking through the bushes and through the woods to find where David was hiding. And then we find that his purpose was that he wanted to strengthen David's hand in the Lord. He wanted to so talk to David so that David would hold on to the promises of God, to strengthen his hand of faith upon the promises of God. Now, God has ordained that you as women, with one each other, in your different ways and needs, depression, whatever it may be, crisis, God has ordained that also you must be related to each other in friendships in the church in such a way so that you are an instrument of God to strengthen your sister's hand in the Lord, to teach your sister and yourself how to fight the good fight of faith, of how to lay hold upon God even unto the end. You are to develop the kind of Christian friendship in which you hold on to the promises of God and you desire to escape the deceitfulness of your sin. I might ask you this afternoon if you're part of such a cluster of women, whether you're part of a ladies' Bible study in your church, whether you have that type of friend in the church as a single girl, whether your friends are not just outside the church or just work-related, but whether you have Christian women, married or unmarried, with whom you seek to establish that type of fellowship, spiritual fellowship. Now understand that there's nothing spiritual in having a group of women in itself or gathering together in a group, and that there's nothing spiritual in itself of going to talk to a sister who's in crisis or sharing the burdens to another sister or discussing common interests or what the world would say, providing affirmation to each other. None of that in itself is spiritual. All of what I just said, getting together in a group, coming to someone's aid in crisis, talking about burdens, all of that happens all around us in this city, in bars, where the name of Christ is derided. It happens all around us and is going on right now through cell phones, where people, where women are unloading, they're talking, they're expressing their bitterness and their resentment. So in itself, there's nothing spiritual about that. And it's very well possible that even in the church, that there's not a spiritual atmosphere among women or men, and that the type of support that is being given is the type of support where God's word and prayer would be considered to be an intrusion or considered to be awkward, and the group is simply filling up the air with talk and complaint and bitterness. What makes it Christian women fellowship is walking worthy of our calling in Christ Jesus, which is the love of God, which is delight in God, which is obedience and trust in God, which is personally delighting in God, and out of that delight of God, to delight in each other. So the purpose then of your gathering together to help each other, I won't be negative, I'm going to be positive. This is what it should be. You go to your fellow sister who's in difficulty or need or whatever it may be, single, married. You have your fellowship with Christian sisters in order that you might instill hope, diffuse bitterness, restore confidence, pray for peaceful submission to God's will, to strengthen her hand in the Lord, to bear her burden, but not to bear her grudge. So you strengthen each other spiritually in the Lord. And you also instill compassion in the church. Women are, I said a moment ago, given the divine calling to cultivate in the church a sense of family. And any widower would know exactly what I mean. And I want to assure you that we as men know exactly, or we know what this means. We know that women, if there's going to be a family, if there's going to be warmth, if it's going to be a home, and if the church is going to be a home, then the church needs, the church is spiritual women. So I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you as a Protestant Reformed minister to be active as women, to be active as single, to be caring, to be observant, to quietly help, to minister to each other and to the needs of the church out of your own substance, to welcome people to your home, to send cards, to attend the baby shower even if you don't know the person and even if you don't have kids, to sit next to a lonely woman, perhaps a woman who's being forsaken, to sit next to her in the church. I ask you the question, does your church feel like a home? What are you doing to create a sense of family? Not asking, what do you get out of it? But I'm asking, what benefit can the lives of others in the church to which you belong receive through you as you have received grace from God? It's through Christian women, single, married, widower, young, old, the church will take on an atmosphere. And through spiritual women, the church takes on an atmosphere in which the Word of God is treasured, godly lives are fostered, the truth is absorbed down into the heart through godly women. What shall I render to the Lord? What shall my offering be? May the Lord give to you a profound commitment to your Lord Jesus Christ, to serve Him in the Church of Jesus Christ to put away whatever envy or jealousy which would be the clog in our hearts, and to serve Him. How shall we serve Him? Will it be a potluck supper? Will it be taking care of the nursery schedule? Will it be a meal to someone who's sick or a new mother? Will it be visiting the aged or in the nursing home? Will it be that the older sister who has Alzheimer's, and yes, her husband is taking over a lot, and the deacons know about it, but deacons, yes, I'm not degrading the deacons, but a woman who has Alzheimer's, the church needs women to help her. A mother who's had 4 children, 3 children quickly, and is depressed, yes, she needs to talk to her pastor, but the church needs women for her. Invite the singles. I have to tell you that as a father, one of the things that I thank God for is that my 3 daughters in the church had women who weren't related to them, who were married, who took an interest in them, and who still are their friends. Single girls, married women with children, took an interest in my daughters. And I have to tell you that I'm on my knees to thank God, because it molded, it blessed, it shaped them. These are sacred things that you do. If our churches or our own church does not feel like a family, if we sense that there's a trend that there's no involvement, the times of fellowship when perhaps the church started now become rare, and it's hard to get people together for fellowship. Why? Well, we could say, well, Reverend, it's because of the me generation and the fads and the influences of this world and the absorption of self. And it's all because of the world who has is influencing us. And there's truth there. But that's not the reason. And if we stop with that as the reason, nothing will change. If we just say, well, the world in which we live, women, and everybody is so interested in themselves, we don't have time for each other anymore as people of God because of the world and how the world is influencing us. Nothing will change. Nothing will change if we stop there. If there is not a sense of fellowship in the church, it's because, this is the reason, our failure of faith, personal faith, it's because my heart is estranged from God vibrantly. And what is needed is men of God, women of God, ordinary men and ordinary women who desire to live their lives in faith and humility before God. A faith which sees hard work, work in the church, and is willing to do that and stick with it, and is willing to do that because always in the ear are the words of Jesus. Unto one of these, the least of my sisters, ye have done it unto me. May God then grant to you, my sisters in Jesus Christ, great strength of faith, great joy to walk worthy of your calling, as God has given you as women the calling to minister unto the saints of God and to enjoy spiritual fellowship with each other using your own feminine gifts. May God give you strength and joy in that way so that the church may become a home for weary sinners, for the sorrowful, for the lonely, and for the stranger. And so that God may be glorified in us. Thank you for having me speak to you today.